Let me welcome you again. My name's Tim. I'm one of the pastors here at Enfield, and I'll be preaching us to us from God's Word now. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. There's a couple down the front. And we're back in the Gospel of Matthew, looking on the Sermon on the Mount, so chapter 7 today. And just while you turn there, let me just give another kind of brief notice and say thank you very much for all of you who have filled in a Grow Group form. So we've collected probably over 200 responses, which is really encouraging. We're just now in the process, or I'm in the process, of figuring out the next thing, but we'll communicate that to you fairly soon. So just in case you're wondering what's going on with that, it's in the pipeline. So on page 971, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's teaching his disciples up the mountain, and there's crowds there listening on to him too. So let's pick up from verse 1 of chapter 7. Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." This is God's word to us this morning. Let's turn to God in prayer before we turn back to this passage together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please this morning would you give us eyes to see and hearts to engage and to respond to your word. Please, Father, help us to be humble as we sit under what you have to teach us this morning, that we'd be less like ourselves and more like our Lord Jesus when we leave. Father, please speak to us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, picture the scene, okay? It's a beautiful day, perhaps a little bit like today, and you're on your way to meet a friend in Enfield Town Park. You've got some time in your hands, so you go for a leisurely stroll, and as you do, you come across a number of people along the way. First off, you walk past three teenagers sitting on the park bench. They've got their hoodies up, one earphone in. I don't know why they do that, but one earphone in. And they're clearly bad-mouthing someone that they know. The use of language is very colourful, and actually you begin to pity the person that they're speaking about. "That's awful," you whisper quietly. "The youth of today." Next, you walk past the children's play area, and you see a mum with her three kids, clearly in a grump, as she screams at them in the top of her voice. You glance over and slowly shake your head in disappointment. Surely she could be a bit more patient with them. That's clearly no way to parent. Just then your phone vibrates, and so you get your phone out and you discover an update on Facebook. That never happens for me, but it might happen for you. You discover an update. You look. "Oh, that's shocking. I can't believe that person from church would say that on social media. They should know better. I wouldn't dream of saying something like that." Finally, you look up and you see your friend approaching in the distance, and with them is someone else. "Huh, that's strange. I was just meeting her." So you begin automatically to look them up and down, trying to work out something about them. "Is that a Rolex on their watch? I wonder how they can afford that. Is that a Man City top? Glory Hunter. Bet they're not even from Manchester. Are they ripped jeans? I hope they didn't pay for those. I wonder who they are. I wonder why they're coming too." Can you picture that scene? Just pause and reflect on it for a moment. I wonder if you can relate to any of that to some extent. Because I think, whether it's just for me, I'm sure it's for all of us, that actually it's so ingrained in us of comparing others to ourselves. You see, perhaps even as I described the scene, some of you began to think of other people that are like that, rather than thinking, I know that's true of me sometimes. And that's the issue. Our world is full of condemning others. And Jesus this morning, through his word, shows that our hearts are also full of these judgmental attitudes. We are often quick to condemn others with our eyes and with our hearts, to lift ourselves up as a judge, to sit above them. And this is what Jesus tackles in this passage this morning. He warns his disciples, don't be like this. This doesn't fit with royal living. This is not how God's people should behave once they've been brought from death to life. And I hope to show you from our passage that Jesus calls us not to be judgmental, but, this works, to be a good judge. Now that might sound a little contradictory, but Jesus does want us to be discerning at times and to be those who are wise and make good judgments about others. That's what the latter part of our verses are about. But being a good judge doesn't mean elevating ourselves while condemning others. Whether we look around our world this morning or look around at church this morning, we will see sin in others. Though as disciples the penalty for sin has been removed, we are still sinners. We will still see sin in others. So the question is, when we see that happen, what is it we're supposed to do? How are we to react? Well, Jesus, again, calls us to be a good judge. And to help us think through what this looks like, Jesus gives his disciples two don'ts and one do in this passage. And the first is, don't be a fault finder. Just have a look with me at verses 1 to 2. Let me read them again. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, when Jesus says, do not judge here, the word judge means to condemn. Okay, so again, Jesus isn't saying don't make judgments or don't ever be discerning. But he's saying do not condemn and do not be judgmental. Don't look down your nose at others. Don't be a fault finder. When you spot sin in others, don't condemn them. That's not your role. And did you know research suggests that when meeting someone for the first time, we make judgment about them in 7 seconds. That's not long to make a good first impression, is it? 7 seconds. You know, you meet someone, my impression is that they're cool, they're kind, they're arrogant, they're rude. 7 seconds. And I'm not surprised by this. Maybe you are, but I'm not surprised, okay? Because we do it all the time. I do it. You listen to the news and you get a snapshot of an MP talking about Brexit. And straight away, you know, the sentence they say comes up and boom, judgment. I don't want to listen to that anymore. Don't want to listen to what they have to say. And again, Jesus warns us that acting like this, that being judgmental, finding faults in others, condemning them, comes at a cost. So listen again at verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? As you judge others, you're opening yourself up to be judged. Okay, so for example, if after church you and I offered our services to hoover up some of the crumbs made by others with biscuits, and as we did, I kept shouting over to you, oh, you've missed a bit. Look behind you, you've missed another bit. Okay, now as well as getting annoyed at me, I'm sure you would, your first reaction would probably be to look where I'm hoovering and actually be like, well, actually, Tim, you've missed a bit as well. Look, there's some right by your foot, you've missed a bit. You see, as soon as I begin to find fault in others and condemn others, I open myself up for others to find fault and accuse me of the same issue. As Jesus addresses later, fault-finding opens me up to the charge of being a hypocrite. But more than that, although this is true, Jesus actually means far more than this here. He's reminding his disciples of a greater judge, of himself. See, Jesus is the only one who can judge perfectly because he himself is faultless. So when Jesus points out to me in his word my hypocrisy or sin in my life, he is totally just because he is totally clean. He's perfect. Jesus tells a story, it's found later in Matthew's gospel, which goes like this, and he's going to read it to you. And you'll hopefully see the connection. A king wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, a lot of money, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, pennies. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. It's a powerful story, isn't it? And do you see the link? See, disciples of Jesus, we are those who have been forgiven in Christ, who no longer have sin hanging over them like a black shadow. The penalty of sin has been removed in Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus, the righteous judge, was punished in our place so that now we are free of judgment, the judgment we deserve for our sin. And so he says, be careful, for as we've escaped judgment, we must not be quick to dish out judgment. If we're quick to judge and condemn others and set our own standards, we're forgetting or have never truly grasped what Jesus accomplished at the cross by removing the judgment we deserve. And actually, at this point, if you're not a disciple, if you're part of the crowds listening on to the words of Jesus here, then know, I must tell you this morning, that this judgment is still looming over you. But Jesus can remove it. He's the one you need to come to. See, Jesus warns us here, don't be a fault finder. Don't be a fault finder. It's easy for us to do. And that's, if you think of Jesus in the Gospels, he wasn't a fault finder. He was compassionate with people. He hung around with the tax collectors and sinners, those who knew they had faults. He wasn't condoning sin by being with them, but Jesus is patient with us. Through his word, he rebukes us gently and shows us the best way. The people Jesus did make note of were those who relied on their own righteousness. Jesus was quick to highlight their hypocrisy. Think of another parable that Jesus told about two men who went to the temple to pray. He says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." You see how he's looking down the nose. "I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I have." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you that this man, rather than this man, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." See, what does Jesus see when he sees in your heart as he looks? Which of these two men are you most like? So point number one, Jesus says, don't be a fault finder. But point number two, Jesus says, do be an eye examiner. And that's verses 3-5. And one of the things I remember being encouraged to try when I was a teacher last year at school was to get the kids to mark or to edit and improve their own work, okay? But there was a problem with this. It didn't go particularly well. And I think the reason why is because just like adults, when you look at your own writing in particular, we find it hard to find our own mistakes. The turning point came when a friend said to me, well, why don't you try getting the kids to mark each other's work? Get them to swap with a friend. So I tried it, and it was a huge success. Why? Well, because we struggle often to see the faults in our own life, but when it's chance to pick on someone else's, you give someone else's bit of work, you're like, yeah, I'll get my pen and scribble all over it. There's loads of mistakes here. And so that was great. It saved me a lot of marking, actually. But this is the point that Jesus raised in verses 3-5. And I'm going to read them again. I'm actually going to ask Nathan, where is he? Nathan, to come up. And I'm just going to illustrate it, okay? We've got a picture here. I just want to show it. It's really obvious, all right? It's easy to see, to read it and go, oh yeah, I kind of get the point. But when you see it, it's just a bit ridiculous, okay? Right, here's a speck. Don't actually have to put it in your eye. You can if you like. Here we go. Let me just find space. So Jesus says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me help you take the speck, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take or remove the plank out of your own eye so that you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Thank you, Nathan. That was brilliant. Oscar performance. Hopefully that's helpful just to see. Because this is what Jesus is comparing to how we are when we judge others, when we spot sin in others. And so Jesus says, when you spot sin in others, Jesus says, first examine yourself. Look at your own eyes first. And then, after that, help your brother out. Jesus says, when you spot sin in others, which we will do, he says, use this as an opportunity to examine yourself, to examine your own eye. So look at verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. So go back to the park with me. You see that mum shouting at her kids? Don't sit in judgment over her or shake your head. Don't condemn her in your heart. First, examine your own eye. Take the plank out. Lord God, forgive me for the times where I've shouted at my kids because of frustration, because of tiredness, because of just a long day. Father, I come to you poor in spirit, mourning over this sin. Please help me to be patient. Please help me to be slow to anger. Father, I need your help in this. See, do you see the difference? That does. I'm not ignoring the sin. I'm not saying that that's right to shout at your kids. But first, we must examine our own hearts so we're not hypocrites, thinking that I'm any better. Now, you might find in this situation, once you've examined yourself and prayed for the issue, then perhaps you may also pray for the mum the same things. Now, because Jesus is talking about your brother here, perhaps a better example would involve the times we see another disciple sin. So let me give you an example. So perhaps after the morning service, you hear one of your someone else here, they start joking about an inappropriate film they've just seen, and they're laughing over, you know, the rude language used, the innuendos made, and you overhear it. First, examine yourself. Lord, help me not to be a fault finder. Lord, sorry for the times I've watched unhelpful programs or joked about things that aren't pleasing in your sight. Lord, forgive me and help me to pursue what is holy and right and discard what is unholy and what is unhelpful. Then, once we've done that, once we've examined, once we've removed the plank, as it were, Then, Lord, I pray for my friend. Please give me the grace to gently rebuke them. May I not be judgmental, but helpful as I seek to encourage them in their walk with the Lord Jesus. And perhaps later on, when others have gone, you may talk to your brother, take him aside, talk to him about the speck. Talk of your own failings, pray with them. Jesus says, be an eye examiner, but first examine your own eyes, and then you'll be able to be of use to help your brother remove the speck. You see, it's right to help each other see our sin more clearly. You see, later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus does say, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. If they listen, you've won them over. So Jesus does say we should be doing this. We should be helping each other out. There is a place for it. But here Jesus is saying, he's calling his disciples to examine your own eye first. Be a good judge. Don't be a fault finder. Be an eye examiner. You see, when we see sin in others, in our brothers and sisters, some good questions to ask to help us may be these, okay? So perhaps you could first ask, have I examined my own eyes? Have I removed the plank of this particular sin that I see in them? Have I prayed about this? By speaking to my brother about the speck, am I in some way puffing up my own ego, or am I genuinely trying to serve them and help them in their walk with Jesus? So some questions to ponder. Jesus calls his disciples to be good judges. Don't be a fault finder. Do be an eye examiner. And lastly, don't be a sacred squanderer. Let me read verse 6 to us again. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, this verse may seem a bit strange, and even on first reading, thinking, what does this have to do with anything? However, Jesus has just spent a lot of time being clear that disciples must not sit in judgment over others, since we're sinners too. But there is a real danger that we can take this too far and then not make any judgments at all. So kind of be so consumed by not trying to be judgmental in any possible way, or then we then make no judgments, or we're not discerning at all. But in verse 6, Jesus shows that there is a place for discernment, a time for making good judgments in this sense. Given the context of what we know, particularly in the Gospels, I think the sacred element being talked about here is the gospel. The gospel is something that is precious and is something that you can give away, like these pearls. And Jesus calls for discernment when presenting the gospel to others. You see, as we spot sin in others and we go through the checks, as it were, and we go to proclaim the gospel and speak of its relevance to all, some will refuse to listen. Some will want nothing to do with the life-changing word of our Lord Jesus. They won't see its value. So think about the image. See, the dogs mentioned here aren't your kind of cute, cuddly pets that you might have at home. And the pigs here aren't kind of lazy mud wallowers. This is a picture of kind of savage, wild beasts. And the warning is to not throw the precious pearls to them, because once they've chewed them up and find it unsatisfying, they will turn on you. Jesus is calling his disciples to be discerning, to make good judgments. We're not to be so cautious about judging that we make no judgments at all. And considering Jesus spends five verses warning his disciples about the danger of being judgmental and one verse on being discerning, it probably highlights what we most struggle with what disciples most struggle with. But both are important and need to be thought about. So making good judgments on people with regards to the gospel, it may mean moving on to speak to others when people are clearly not interested, or keep mocking the name of Jesus when you speak to them. Now, we might feel a little bit uncomfortable with hearing that, but Jesus' own words when speaking of the Pharisees, he says, leave them. They're blind guides. He says, have nothing to do with them. Paul, in the book of Acts, he takes the Gospels to the Jews, and we read, "But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" There's a place for discernment. Now, this doesn't mean we stop praying for those who mock and disregard the gospel, but it is unwise to stick around when clearly the only result may be a devouring. Even as we come to the Lord's Supper in a minute, we must approach it with sincerity. See, the Lord's Supper is not for everyone in the sense that we are called not to be sacred squanderers. So Paul writes in Corinthians, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin and against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." There's a place for discernment. We need to be wise. Jesus is teaching his disciples to show discernment. So Jesus calls his disciples to be good judges. Two don'ts and one do. Don't be a fault finder. Do be an eye examiner. Don't be a sacred squanderer. I've found these verses really challenging this week. As I've sat under these words of Jesus, I feel convicted of my sin of judging others, whether that's in my heart or my eyes or with my lips. These words are powerful, aren't they? They're relevant to disciples. They're relevant to us. And just imagine the impact that this radical teaching of Jesus will have on our lives and our church and our community if we take them seriously and put them into practice. This morning, come to the feet of Jesus and ask him for help to do that. And actually, if you just look at verse 7, that's exactly what Jesus goes on to teach his disciples. He comes on and says, "Look, ask and it will be given to you." We need to come to Jesus and ask him for his help. We need God's help to live like this. It's not natural to us. This way of living is not possible without the Spirit's help. So ask Jesus to change you. Ask Jesus to change us as a church, that would be kind of less judgmental, less fault-finding in others, quick to examine our own hearts and lives, more discerning. Ask Jesus to help you to be a good judge. Shall we pray? Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, that it is living and active, that it's sharp, that it's relevant. Father, perhaps even this morning you've just placed a finger on our hearts in the place where we are so judgmental of others, whether that's out loud or in our hearts, or on social media. Lord, forgive us for that. Father, that's what comes natural to us. Please teach us the better way. Thank you that as disciples of Jesus, the judgment we deserve for being judges of others has been removed at the cross of Jesus. Thank you for him, our just judge. And Father, we just ask again that you would help us in this, to really think through what it's going to mean to live in this manner as disciples, those saved, but to live and call those who are called to live like this. So Father, please help us, we ask. And we ask that you'd forgive our many sins in Jesus' name. Amen.